Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Faisal, we've got, we talk about this often in our practice, but there's lots of instances where people have perhaps gone through a divorce or separation or even a death of a spouse, and they meet somebody new, right? And they want to bring their families together in different capacities, some as marriage, some as cohabitation, but it introduces some complexity. From a family planning perspective.
Yeah, paint the picture of this. Like, let's say you're going down into your life, you've accumulated a whole bunch of wealth,
yeah.
Whatever that dollar amount is, you may have children from a previous marriage, and you meet that special person, you wanna merge your lives together, yeah. So now what do you do?
Right.
Like, what's the step? Now, the two of us get together whenever we talk to clients or people up on the show, we're like, make sure you get the legal advice on what you need to protect
Correct.
Yourself and your wealth and what your viewpoints are.
Yep.
We've brought in lawyers in here before talking about in the event of death and you have a blended family, what do you need to do? But let's talk about before you get married or before you decide
right.
to move and cohabitate. So we have Marcus Sixta, founder and senior legal coach at Crossroads Law. Marcus, welcome back again.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
So you heard the tee up that I kind of gave you in regards to what the concerns are from many of our viewers and listeners of the show. They're going to be entering in, or they've already entered into relationships. They are concerned that they've accumulated a bunch of wealth, and in the event of a breakdown of the relationship, do I lose half? Do I have to, you know, provide support? All these concerns. And Alberta law is a very unique law when we look at these types of issues. And so we'd love to have your viewpoints. Let's start off when it comes to the general overview of prenups, cohabitation agreements. How do they work in Alberta?
Well, prenups, cohabitation agreements, marriage agreements, they're called a lot of different things. So let's just clarify what the terms are before we dive into it. So a prenuptial agreement is a term that's used for an agreement that is signed in anticipation of marriage. A cohabitation agreement can also be an agreement that's signed in anticipation of marriage, but typically that's an agreement that's signed between spouses who are common law spouses. Okay, and maybe not going to get married. And then a marriage agreement is an agreement that's done after the parties are married, and it's an agreement to sort out the financial planning, maybe in the event of a separation, or even, you know, what the roles financially may be during the marriage. That happens too sometimes. So those are the terms we're dealing with. Now, in Alberta, we have laws here that, as you know, if you're married, all of the assets you accumulate during your relationship, if you separate, are going to be divided 50-50. Starting January 1st, 2020, the law was expanded to include common law couples as well. And so there are a lot of Albertans out there who are in a situation where they may be coming up on that common law couple status now, and they don't even know that at that point, the assets that they've accumulated in that relationship are going to be divided 50-50 in the event of a separation. So we have the ability to draft up these types of agreements so that people can come to an agreement with respect to how these assets are going to be divided in a fair way after separation, and so that there's less surprises, less uncertainty, and ultimately less legal fees in the event of separation as well, because you already know what you're going to do.
Okay, and Marcus, just to be clear, those changes in January 2020, what they did is expand the rights of a common law partner, correct? And dower rights, so property rights and so on and so forth. There could be some big surprises for people there, correct?
Correct. So if you are in a relationship with somebody, and in Alberta, it's a little confusing because we call it common law couples, right? Common law spouses. But the term common law spouses really isn't out there in our laws. This all falls under the Adult Interdependent Relationship Act, and people who reside together in a relationship of interdependence for 3 years become adult interdependent partners, and adult interdependent partners then have these property rights against the properties that were accumulated or the assets that were accumulated during that relationship in the event of a separation. So after that 3-year mark, then boom, it's the same, essentially the same rules as a marriage. And it's a system where you have to opt out, you're not opting in. And a lot of people don't understand that.
So this is where I think the confusion comes into play. Mm-hmm. So Marcus, there are people that are going to be either surprised with this ruling or this law. There are people who have thought about this and say, okay, we're going to mark a line in the sand and we're going to say, okay, as of, let's pick a date today. Going forward, we are now officially married or common law spouses. So from this day forward, whatever we have, if we have a breakdown in our relationship, it's 50-50 of the growth of the assets. But what about when it comes to real estate, matrimonial property, a home, whatever it may be, if one is moving into someone else's home? So let's say, you know, a male client of ours wants to move in with his new significant other. It's her home initially. She puts him on title. They now are looking at these issues, but in the cohabitation agreement or prenuptial agreement, they've said the first X dollars, because you've put this in, sweetheart, is yours. If anything breaks down, then it's 50-50 from the growth of that. How does the law look at those types of issues that we literally put somebody on title? And from my understanding of it, is it's now commingled asset. You now are in a 50-50 ownership of that property. But how does the prenup or cohab in those types of assets, how do you, it's hard to calculate those things, you know?
Well, you're right. So if you're entering into a relationship where there are assets that are already held by each person, those assets are, even if you don't have any agreement in place, they are protected, all right? Because any assets that you have at the date that you started this relationship, those are not divisible in the event of separation. But what is divisible is the increase in value of those assets. Now, that scenario that you just posed there is when somebody puts their partner's name on title of an asset that would otherwise be exempt. If that happens, it's not 50-50. It's actually you're giving that person 25% of that asset. It's a little bit confusing, but the law is that when you look at how that's divided, if you put that person's name on the property, you're essentially giving half of the property to the relationship, and you are keeping half, and then that half of the relationship in the event of separation gets divided 50-50. So ultimately it's 25%, all right? Now with an agreement, you can actually sort out how all of these assets are divided in advance. You can say that particular property, even though I put your name on title, it's always going to be mine. Any increase in value of it is always going to be mine. So you can protect it that way. As long as the agreement is done in the right way.
Okay, so that's what we want to talk about, is what's the right way? How mm-hmm. do we, let's talk about that situation before we head to commercial break. We got about a minute left, Marcus. So let's give our listeners and viewers the tips on what has to be done to make it the right way.
Well, first of all, the very most important thing is each person needs to have independent legal advice. And that means they need to have a lawyer from different firms who review this agreement, give them advice, and tell them what's in it. The reason you need that independent legal advice is twofold. One, it's in our legislation. And two, it's because without that, you're at risk of an agreement being unfair, because your spouse, in the event of separation, could say, I didn't understand. I don't know what this all means. I was just signing it. Or they could say, I was, you know, pressured, etc. But if you have a lawyer there for both parties, it takes away those concerns, and an agreement is signed in a way that the courts would find to be fair. And it's way more challenging to attack an agreement where you have lawyers giving independent legal advice to both parties. So that would be the number one point.
Yeah, Marcus, that's a good point. We're going to pick it up after the break, because we've got lots of people that we know, clients often, that come in. And their key assets, business ownership interests, those kinds of things that often create specific concerns. So let's maybe address that after the break to see how these agreements can be crafted to specifically protect some key assets for people.
One of the key things that people need to think about is, as they're talking, we're listening about what Marcus is saying, they're also thinking about how they're going to prepare for their retirement as well.
Yep.
And so as you transition to, or you're going to be getting ready or living in retirement, these are concerns not only just from a matrimonial perspective, but your retirement plan.
Yep.
We're going to talk about how you bulletproof your retirement and how do you handle those stresses and issues on Tuesday, September 21st, 7 p.m. live online. You need to register for this. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com.
All right, join us after the break for more discussion on how to protect some of the key assets that you have if you're bringing two families together. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.